Do note that the views expressed in Thinking It Through do not necessarily represent the views of Good News Community Radio. The views expressed in Thinking It Through are meant to serve as a challenge to your beliefs, whatever they may be, and to see how the Christian worldview stands in light of other worldviews.
Welcome back to Thinking It Through. We continue with another chat by the fireside, a relevant study of the Book of Revelation with Dr. Gregory Denation, resident minister at Juvenati Mission, as he responds to questions on the Book of Revelation. Here is Dr. Gregory Denation in part 32 of Understanding the Times.
But now you have, on a global scale, governments and institutions opting to instill the lie as a foundation for their existence. And it defies all logic. It's on a emotional roller coaster, which explains why there are such an escalation in mental health issues.
That's a funny one, Pastor Greg, because back in the day, I always used to say, and this was me before I was even saved. I used to say to, when I was still going to a psychologist back then, I used to say to my psychologist, you know, you guys say there's something wrong with me mentally, but what happens if one day you've got those who are called mentally ill being in the majority and those who are called normal being in the minority? Surely we are then going to have a flip of the switch and mental illness is going to become the norm and normality is going to become the mental illness. And are we not seeing that today?
It's exactly what's happened now. If you are sober and sane and logical and you have a moral framework that's based on something that's absolute, you are persona non grata. You are actually ridiculed, marginalized, isolated, looked down upon, and peer pressurized out of existence. It's just like that as it is now. Let's take, for example, how things have changed. And in a certain sense, it's exactly what Revelation was telling us, because this is human nature. And these things happen by principle. Let's say in the early years of psychology, when it first came about, because some people think psychology has been around forever, but it's not. It's a child of secular humanism. Now, when it came about, because of the rational, logical basis of the worldview at that time, there was a genuine attempt to try and find out what is the truth about this condition or that condition, and especially in clinical psychology, it was more exact. Of course, you have Freudian and other kinds of psychology, which is a flight of fantasy into who knows where, Mars and Jupiter and whatever. But if a person came at that time to a psychologist and said, look, you know, I have a problem. I wonder if you can help me. I'm actually a female, but I'm trapped in a male body. The response would have been, oh, there's something wrong with your mind, because obviously, the truth is what we can see. I mean, this is empirical, objective reality. You're a male, but you think you're a female. So let's work on your mind so that we align your mind with your body. Then everything's honky-dory. No problem. Now, if the same person comes to a present-day psychologist and says, you know, I have a problem. I think I'm a female, but I'm trapped in a male body. They say, oh, dear, there's something wrong with your body. But no problem. We'll work on your body so that your body can align with your mind. Can you see this? So we want to tamper with empirical, hardcore reality and somehow think we're going to make the world right. That's madness.
It is madness, Pastor Greg. It is. Now, getting back to Revelation, how can we take what we've learned in Revelation and apply that in real life? Are there lessons that we can apply literally in our lives from understanding Revelation as apocalyptic literature?
Oh, very much so, because we read that the seal of God on the forehead is what actually preserved the sanity of the faith community in these times. So we've got to understand that there are a couple of principles that run like golden threads from the beginning of Revelation to the end. And it's basically this. If you walk according to God's ways, you will be persecuted. But God has undertaken that it would not be beyond your ability to endure. He will be there to safeguard And ultimately, even though persecution breaks out and hardships will follow and things will be very difficult, God is still on the throne. He has not let go of the reins. It's all going exactly according to plan. And ultimately, especially if you come to the end of Revelation, you see that he conquers all evil and he establishes his eternal reign, and there will be peace. There will be no more crying, no tears. There will be no more pain or suffering, no darkness. And so it goes on to mention a whole list of things that will be missing. They will not be there anymore because God has made all things new. So it comforts. That was the intention of the book, to comfort the suffering Christians. Suffering will be part of our menu. It will be on the table for us. But we need not crumble or despair, because the first vision was the Lord Jesus walking amongst the seven golden lampstands. He wasn't aloof, he wasn't distant, he was present with his church in the midst of all the struggles and the battles that they were going through. John himself, when he comes to the end of the scene one, the seven letters to the seven churches, he looked and he saw there was a door standing open in heaven. How comforting to know that I can turn to the Lord, that door isn't closed, it's open. And then he looked, he saw there was a throne. And that throne wasn't capsized. It wasn't lying on its side. It wasn't empty. It wasn't vacated. God didn't run away. Someone was seated on that throne. Now, the symbolism of that is very powerful. God is still on the throne. It doesn't look like it. It looks a horrible mess. But the reason why it's like that is because sinful human nature will conduct itself the way it does as a matter of principle. It's the opposite of what is godly and what is holy and what is acceptable to God. It's a rebellion against the ways of God. And that is something we see. It helps us to interpret the times. It helps us to not despair and find our way through all of this. Revelation also wants to tell us, and that's for us to act on that, that no matter how evil builds up a momentum and becomes a formidable force, it has in itself the seeds of its own destruction. So you just have to hang in there. You just have to trust God, be faithful to him. Ultimately, this whole thrust and power and impetus of darkness is going to implode upon itself and come to an end.
So then the book of Revelation was really written as a word of encouragement for the local church back then, but then obviously for future people who are going to be reading it as well, to basically understand the full history, like you've said, in the different ways it's written, with the drama that unfolds and the different scenes.
While you're thinking, let's just sketch that scenario for you. Your daily experience is, yes, that these Roman soldiers just break into your home, take the husband off to the theater.
So this is the context we are talking about.
Yes.
Now.
And he's being fed to the lions. Other Christians are being smeared with pitch, put on poles and set alight to light up the city. These things happen. This was real.
Yes.
And then you look at the stadium as you are there having to play the part of a gladiator, and you're going to be chopped to death because you can't win in a situation like that. Even if you manage to deal with your opponent, they'll bring in another one until you are dead. And the crowds were there. They just loved this. This bloody violence was something which they just thrived on. Now, you look at this lot, and the Christians are a small minority in Rome. And you say to yourself, have we made a mistake? Mm. Look at these pagans, these atheists, atheos in the Greek, without God, without the living God. Look how they're prospering. They get the best jobs. They're looked after. They don't have a worry in the world. They're affluent. They're enjoying themselves. But look at us. We're a persecuted, tramped upon small minority. Imagine now you're asking the question, did we make the wrong choice? Mm. Did we choose the wrong way? Look at these people. They're the majority. Surely the majority must be right. And look how they are taken care of, and they don't suffer like we suffer. And a crisis of confidence set in. And the church was bewildered. There's nothing so bad as senseless suffering. The human frame can cope with a lot of suffering, but when it's senseless suffering, you collapse, you disintegrate, you can't go any further. So God saw the need in his church, the body of believers, not only for then, but for the future as well. So the book of Revelation was designed and composed and put together, firstly, to comfort those who were suffering. So comforting to look up and see there's a door standing open in heaven. It's not shut. We don't have a bronze ceiling. The prayers are going through. God is listening. Secondly, that God is on the throne. He hasn't let go. He hasn't abdicated. It's not as if the unbelief is now triumphing, strutting proud, as if they have all the power, all the authority. He's explaining that what is happening here is all in God's hands. So it's to comfort and also to shed light on what is happening, to explain to them. Because once you understand, okay, so this is what's really going on, it gives you the courage, gives you the desire, the will to be able to hang in there and to persevere and push through.
So John was on the Isle of Patmos writing the book, and I believe it was written in one sitting. This didn't take place over different areas. Was John on the Isle of Patmos?
He was on the Isle of Patmos. I won't say it was with one sitting.
Yes.
It was unfolding because, you know, I don't know how many computers he used.
But that's what I'm asking.
To be able to put together an incredible book like this, you know, it's fascinating. It's taken us years just to try and look at all the various aspects of elements contained in this book.
Now, there was just with all the persecution that was happening, just going back to what we were talking about end times, because this is something that I think a lot of people don't realize, and I'm not a history buff, but Pastor Greg, that's why I'm asking you the question. Wasn't there also an invasion that was about to take place during those times? Or am I getting my timelines mixed up?
This was around 95 AD.
So this was after?
After.
Was there a invasion that happened any time with... I'm trying to, you see, because a lot of people get confused with this. There was a persecution that was happening from the Romans, but then there was also an invasion that happened sort of around that time period.
You see, in AD 70.
It was in AD 70,
AD 70
when the invasion happened.
There was an incredible, you know, Rome invaded Palestine and raised it to the ground.
Now, that was when the temple got broken down and everything.
That's correct, yes, okay. And they sacrificed the pig on the altar. And
so this was after that? This was 95 AD.
95, yes.
Okay, so
now the Roman Empire had been fully established.
Yes.
And there were always skirmishes, but these skirmishes were put down very quickly. There was an iron fist rule from Rome. That's really a lot of what is in Revelation speaks about that kind of pagan control, especially chapter 13. But now, when Rome was exercising this power and they quashed all these uprisings that came about in different parts of the empire, they labeled it the Pax Romana, meaning the peace of Rome. So it was a peace in terms of the fact that Rome had everything under control.
Yes.
But it doesn't mean there wasn't little outbreaks of rebellion and things like in Palestine itself. A few times there was this kind of a thing.
Now, the book of Revelation talks about, and we did discuss this briefly in previous episodes, the mark of the beast and the beast itself. Is the beast going to be a specific thing? Because I know a lot of people now, especially the conspiracy theorists, and I'm not knocking conspiracy theorists, we need them, but sometimes you can get a little bit locked in your conspiracy and misunderstand the truth. A lot of people are pointing fingers at the United Nations, and this comes as a Christian now as well, and they're saying, this is a sign of the end times. The United Nations is the beast. And we've had a lot of this happen throughout the years. And I think that's why a lot of people look at Christianity and look at Christians when we discuss Revelation. They go, yeah, but in the 80s, you guys said this was the beast. And in the 90s, you said this was the beast. Now you're saying the UN is the beast or this form of control is the beast. Is the beast really just a symbol of different things throughout the ages? And that was part 32 of Understanding the Times, a relevant study of the book of Revelation. To listen to Thinking It Through again, go to Iona FM and search for the Thinking It Through, or download the free GNCR 93.6 FM app from the App Store and go to podcasts. Stay tuned for part 33 tomorrow, same time.
If you have any feedback or queries regarding Thinking It Through, please email it to thinkingitthrough at gncr.org.za. You can find the live stream, GNCR mission statements, and more at gncr.org.za.